Welcome to The Favorites. I am Chad Millman of the Action Network. This is the Parlay Show, which means me and my Action Network colleagues, including Jeff Schwartz, 8 years in the NFL as an offensive lineman, one of the most famous Oregon Ducks to ever grace the field at Autzen Stadium, along with Paul Laduca, 10 years in the major leagues, 4 times an all-star catcher, number retired at Arizona State University. Boys, we got to pick nine games to win $20,000. We have yet to cash. I don't even know how many episodes we're into this thing. Jeff, what is our problem?
Our problem is we're picking on a Monday. That's a problem. It's nine games. It's tough to do. But I feel exceptionally good about a lot of my picks this week. Like I'm looking forward to, especially after last weekend when college football wasn't a complete and utter disaster. I don't know why this is, Chad. Every other sport I bet on, I bet a single unit for most games, or I bet the juice, right? So if it's 110, I bet 1.1 units. But like in college football, for whatever reason, I think I know better. And I'm like, I'm going to bet 5 units on this game, and it loses like 75% of the time. Like, I don't understand why that sport, I think I know more than I know. It is mind blowing to me that I do that all the time. I don't get it. And then I start chasing. It's crazy. But any other sport, I'm fine. NFL, no problem winning. Everything, but NCAA football, man, I get so passionate about it.
Well, this raises an interesting question for you and for Polly, which is, you're both former professional athletes. You reach the top of your field. It's like the chances of us winning this parlay are actually better than making it to professional sports, and you guys did that. So it actually is even more astonishing that we've not been able to figure out how to win this parlay. But but because of that, because you got as far as you did, does it screw with your ability to bet on sports? That is the fundamental question. That is what makes it so interesting when former professional athletes are trying their hand at sports betting, is why do you think you know so much about college football?
So this is a great question because I study most of my days in the NFL. I mean, that's what I do most of the time in college football. I don't know what the reason is, but I think that, and Paul, I think is this way too. Like, we're so competitive that we can't sit still during a game. Like, the best example I have is actually in the NFL. Our sports action app is fabulous. It has a section where you can do like an analysis on your gambling. So I did a full one for the NFL. If I take out second half betting in the NFL, all bets this year in the second half, I'm like 55% overall. But then you add in, I'm 12-18 in second half betting because I'm trying to just, I think I know better. Then it obviously drops the percentage back down a little bit. I just think that we're both competitive. I'm like, you know what? There's no way that X team, and we just don't account for the motion maybe. I don't know what it is. I'm fine in the NFL, but in college football, I don't know what it is this year. I just, Paul, you have an answer? I don't know why.
No, you're right. I'm the same way. Listen. College basketball, I love, and I'm a unit guy, one unit guy. Baseball, I was a one unit guy. But when it comes to football, I do fire more on football, even when in real life. So I play more units, and you're right. And it's been the same way for me. If you look at my overall record, I'm up, but I'm down a ton of units because every time I fire on second half units, like yesterday, you're playing on the half and you're playing on the coaches making adjustments. And you end up realizing there's a lot of dumb coaches out in college football. A lot of puppets. And when you come to pro football, there's a lot of dumb pro coaches. We've come to the age in 2018 where the player has now taken over the coach a little bit and is more of the player on the field. Perfect example could be like a school like Louisville who's just completely collapsed and they can go the other way. So that's why college football is really tough to figure out. And I mean, pro is too as well, but Chad does make a great point. I think the competitive in us is, I do. I if you look at my second half betting, it's awful. And it's because we do watch the game and we see something and we're like, oh, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, da-da-da, and it doesn't, then you end up chasing stuff. And it's the competitive nature of Jeff and I to go, okay, we're not losing for this day. Let's get back to somewhat normalcy for this day for our followers, you know what I mean? Instead of thinking, okay, this isn't the smartest play, you know?
God, that's so interesting, man. The way you guys look at those games and are looking for adjustments. But when you're looking for the adjustments, I just wonder if you're looking at them through an athlete's eye or through the eye of a fan.
I'm a little bit of both. Not a fan. I'm looking at the line. Like, if I look at something that I like, I knew I was in trouble. Listen, I loved Michigan. But when that line really didn't move, and then it just started scaring me throughout the week, and then obviously my gut feeling came to fruition when the first series I knew I was toast. I knew the game was over. So I sometimes will try to stay late to see where the line goes, because sometimes the sharps just you know, they'll know here and there. And when you try to play something on a Monday, Tuesday, for example, for me was Iowa. I played Iowa -10 on Monday, thinking they were going to stick there. That game went almost all the way down to 7. Now, a missed field goal late would have made it 11, and it didn't matter towards the end, but that game was teetering on a lot. There were a lot of lines this week that were swung 4 to 5 points, both pro and college, and a lot of people caught lines in the middle, and a lot of people didn't. You know?
I think one thing, too, with college football is there's so many different stats out there and so many different ways to look at these teams. There's obviously so many teams, 130 of them, that if you're not, and I know Paulie and I are doing things throughout the week, like if you don't have your system yet for college football as far as what stats you look at, what you account for and everything, it could be a tough sport to bet on because there's so many variables that go into those games and the stats and which ones do you look at and the weather and then who's playing who, you know, are they motivated for a bowl game? Do they have to win this game or not? Is a coach getting fired? Like, there's just so many things that are going on in these kids' minds and throughout their programs that I think it's a tough sport to bet on, you know, unless you have your method down.
Look, Jeff, every sport is tough to bet on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Correct.
I think the only thing we know for sure is that a bet against Hugh Jackson, no matter what sideline he's on, is the right side.
I've been a professional sports forever, Jeff. I need your take. I've never in my lifetime... What Baker Mayfield said afterwards, first of all, is a joke. Because, like, you know, you just went over there, you got fired, whatever. If he's upset, he's upset. But when the guy gave the ball to you, I cannot believe you tapped the guy like, hey, how's it going? I mean, at some point when you leave an organization, just stay off the sideline, go to the back of the bench, you know, hide in the back where Waldo hides. Like, and you're an offensive player, or offensive-minded person working on the defense that is getting torched. Like, you can't even make up that scenario, the guy handing the ball to you, but you tapping him back like, hey, the Christmas card is coming, is like, I don't get it.
Not a great look for Hugh this weekend.
I think Hugh thought that everyone in the Browns was going to be like cool with him doing this, and they obviously were not. And I'm not – look, Baker Mayfield, I think his answer was fabulous. I know as a player, if I was in that situation, I'd feel the same way. And I understand, look, Hugh is free to get a job. I mean, he's okay to do that. But I've never seen a head coach get fired and immediately want to work again. I mean, maybe he wanted some normalcy back in his job. But he's not a defensive coordinator, and – they have been awful. They allowed like 300 yards to rushing to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and they let the Browns have their way with them the first half of that game. So I don't know what's happening. I think Hugh might be the first coach to get fired from two teams in 1 year.
It is pretty astonishing. Like, there were points during that Bengals game, and I want to get to our parlay bets, but there were points during that Bengals game where literally it looked like Tweedledee and Tweedledum, right? Like, They couldn't execute a snap. They were like, Andy Dalton would throw an interception. Next thing you know, he's dropping back in the shotgun, and it's over his head, and they're fumbling, and Cleveland's recovering, and he's breaking his thumb or whatever happened to his thumb. It was astonishing. It was totally astonishing. It was my biggest regret on Sunday. I had three massive regrets, but the Browns were easily the biggest.
What are the other two?
One, I didn't pull the trigger on the Broncos. Two, I didn't pull the trigger on the Bills. Three, I didn't pull the trigger on the Browns.
Yeah, I took the Bills and the Broncos. The only regret I had is I really felt good about Tampa, and I just didn't trust that Jameis Winston wouldn't turn the ball over 1,000 times. And he didn't, and they won. So when he doesn't turn the ball over, they win. Shocking, right?
Let's get to feeling good. Go ahead, Paul. I don't mean to interrupt you with my segue. Who's that?
I think Arizona might be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, the wheels came off on that one. They had a couple weeks where they were looking okay. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into our parlay because we got conference championship weekend coming up. We got, what is it, week 14 in the NFL? Is that what we're up to now?
Yeah, 13, yeah.
Is it 13?
I believe so.
Yeah, week 13 in the NFL. Jeff, yes. Eat my Schwartz. Go.
All right, I know I just talked about college football, but I'm going to start with this one. And I have stats to back up. This is not just like a gut pick. So give me Texas +7.5 against Oklahoma this weekend. I'll give you all the reasons why. Tom Herman is the head coach of the University of Texas, the Longhorns. At Houston, he was 6-0 against the spread as an underdog. At Texas now, he's 6-1-1 against the spread as an underdog with an outright win already this year against Oklahoma and the push this year against West Virginia. So the two best teams he's faced, the two best offenses he's faced, he's kept the game within 3 points when they beat Oklahoma. They're up 21, remember, in the fourth quarter in that game. And West Virginia took a last-second throw by Greer to win that game for the Mountaineers. So he's played these teams close, the best offenses close all year. 7.5 is way too many points for an Oklahoma team that cannot stop anyone on defense, right? They allowed 56 points to West Virginia this week. Now, they scored 59, obviously. That's great. They're 108th in yards per play on defense. It's not really that they can't stop anyone. It's everything. They tackle poorly, and they let guys run down the middle of the field wide open. 3rd and 18 in West Virginia is sending a slot wide receiver running full speed down the slot, and no one's even touching him. And he scores on 70-yard touchdown on 3rd and 18. Texas defense can play a little bit of defense. They're 57th in yards per play, so they can play some defense. And so I think this game is a lot closer than 7.5 points. It's inside as well, so weather is not a concern whatsoever. Be pristine conditions. And I just can't see this game. I just can't see Oklahoma's defense doing much to stop Texas enough to cover over a touchdown.
I have strong opinions on this, but Paul, if you'd like to go as one of our college football aficionados, feel free.
I like it. I'm with you. They can score, I think, better than a lot of people think. I think Texas is a lot more explosive than people think. And beginning of the year, obviously with the schedule and what happened, a lot of people were like, okay, where is the Texas program going? But they have actually literally progressed every week throughout the year and have gotten better. And you're right, listen, Oklahoma cannot stop anybody. And I'm sick and tired of people saying, I want Oklahoma in the playoff. Because if they really wanted to play Alabama and Tua stayed on the field, they could score 100 points. And that would be no luck. They would score every possession. So they would. It would happen. I would actually play that prop wager if they let him play every possession. But I think it's a very good play. And I thought the line would be bigger, actually, Schwartz. Didn't you think this line would actually open up bigger?
It might have opened up at like 4 and moved. It would open up at 4.5 and moved all the way, I believe, to 7.5. So a lot of people... that might be right. Yeah, I think this is where it opened up. I'm not surprised. I mean, Oklahoma can score a lot of points. I don't think people think Texas can keep up. But again, the two biggest games they played this year against West Virginia and Oklahoma, they did keep up on offense. So that's, I think, a good sign for this game.
The day they played West Virginia, I played the under in that game. They scored 160 combined, something like that. So I'm with you. They have big game. They have big play capability. But they also could play that grind game. They have a dual game. They can play defense, but they can also score.
Jeff is right. This game opened at 4.5. It's now at 7.5. I like Texas in this game as well. And one of the reasons I like them is because Colin Wilson, our college football expert for Action Network, actually wrote about this game on Sunday morning, sort of one of the games he was looking for. And he was predicting that if he could get... if he can get Texas at plus 7.5 or better, so we are on the lower end of what he wants, he would take Texas at 7.5. My only concern is that, like, this line is definitely going to go up. Like, the money's going to come in on Oklahoma. So I'm only bummed that we're going to get Texas at 7.5, and we'll probably be able to get him at 8.5 or 9.5 or even 10.
Agreed.
And be disappointed that this game's going to land on 8 and we're going to have gotten it at the worst of the number. What's also interesting to me, so we should cha-ching this because we're definitely taking Texas at 7.5. But what's also interesting to me, these teams played already this year, 48-45. Oklahoma scored 21 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Texas, I agree, like, has improved every week. They had one clunker when, like, they were starting to get really good. They went into Stillwater. They were four-point favorites. They were not ready to be road favorites. They lost to Oklahoma State. And to me, that was sort of a turning point for them. That's when they kind of realized, okay, we're close to being good enough, but we're not quite good enough. And then they did much better in the rest of the year. I don't think they can tackle anybody. The total in this game is 79. 79.
No chance it stays there.
That is insane.
The over and under was 86 in the West Virginia game. My buddy goes, hey, you going to go under in that game? I'm like, why? He goes, there's supposed to be like 100% chance of rain in Morgantown, all, you know, all this whatever, this and that. They had 80 points at halftime.
This is nuts. I'm very tempted by the over in this game.
I think it could. I mean,
doesn't it go against like every bit of your bones to take the over in this game? But how do you?
Of course,
how do you
does.
Take, like, if you look at the top 25 of college football this past week, almost every game went over. Right. Obviously, we know the 7 overtime game. I stood up to watch that game. But like Alabama went over this week. Ohio State, Michigan went over this week. Like all these games are going way over. Florida State went over. Everyone thought that was going to be a game that was under game. Georgia went over. Syracuse, BC went over. Like, all these games are going over.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, the West Virginia game, like, literally should have been put at 90. Now, I don't know, Chad, if you, like, has a total ever been put at 90 in a college,
yes,
in a football game?
Cal Oregon was 92 a couple years ago, and they scored 116 points that game. It was like a...
Because here's the crazy part. I did some research. Like, if you look... Totals that have been over 70 in like in the 70s, if they do go over, like it's like 16-8, like over the last like whatever. When Vegas puts it that high, they can't put it high enough. I mean, like 86. I mean that line with West Virginia at 86, you couldn't have put it higher. You know, you'd put it at 95. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's insanity. Pauly, it's your turn, brother man.
Okay, well. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans off the bye week minus, I think they're 5 now. I'd open at 4.5 against the Cleveland Browns. And it's what have you done for me lately? Baker Mayfield had his coming out party, played really, really well. I think the defense didn't play that well in the second half. And I know Cincinnati, they blew him out early. And it was Cincinnati's a dead team. And I proclaim Houston sort of a dead team a while ago, but they are building steam. They're getting better and better as the weeks have gone on. I still think the losing Wilson E hurts them. And only laying 4.5 against the Browns, I think it's a sharp play. They're 7-4 now. They're going to keep moving 7-3 now and keep moving forward and try to convince that they're still a player in the AFC. And that defense is pretty strong, and it's played pretty strong the last couple of weeks. So, I think a lot of people will roll with the Browns. And if you look right now, 64% of the bets are on the Cleveland Browns. That surprised me. And I think the line's going to go up. Because to me, 4.5 or 5 seems a little light right now. Although people are going off of what Baker Mayfield did. And like, okay, every time I see a stat of Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh. I don't care what the other rookies did. They always want to compare him. He's better than the other guys right now.
I am throwing a challenge. I am throwing a challenge flag.
Wow. Challenge.
Here's why. You know why I'm throwing the challenge? Here's why. I want to fucking win $20,000. And I don't want to bet shitty lines. And I'm telling you, like, if the Texans lose tonight or don't perform well against the Titans, this line is going to be at like 3.5 or 2.5, and the money is going to come steaming on the Baker Mayfields. And then we're going to feel like dicks. And I don't want to feel like a dick anymore. At least not because of this.
Went back-to-back road games.
But I think Chad's point is that if we waited this one day for this, we could get a much better line.
Possibly.
Like we could get this under a field goal. Because I think he's right. I think if the Texans lose tonight, this line's going to plummet. And you could even maybe get it at some points at 3. I maybe even 2.5. I think Chad's right. Like, we're going to get a bad line. And this is the problem with betting this game on Monday. We have to think about where these lines might move eventually before the weekend. That's happened, of course.
There's so many road favorites. Okay.
NFL lines are awkward.
Paulie, you can think about it. I'm ready to go. I got a game if you want to think about
my
it.
Ultimate game or no?
All right, no, if you're ready, do it.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Fuck you. Fuck you that you would go from like the Cleveland Browns as 4.5-point dogs against a team that hasn't even played yet to the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons? Are you kidding me? I hate the Falcons. I hate everything about the Falcons.
It's like you're one of my kids, and
you purposely chose a team that you know I can't bet.
Do you follow me on Twitter? I bet the Falcons last week.
Home dog.
Yeah.
Home dog, and you're going to go with Lamar Jackson, who basically the Raiders had that game covered if Terrell Suggs decides to get tackled and the Derek Carr doesn't break every part of his body. The Raiders are the second worst team in all of football. Lamar Jackson is not going to win 3 games in a row. I'm sorry. It ends in Atlanta.
I hate you for making this choice. This is like you're doing this out of spite. You're doing this out of spite against me. This just feels personal.
Well, we threw the challenge flag already, so we're stuck with this one.
You choose challenge flag. You tell me which team you want to choose. You don't want to choose any of them, then I'll just start running through the rampant of college football because that's been my hot spot.
You're going to give me like Middle Tennessee State in the, you know, God knows what championship game being played in Murfreesboro.
They're playing UAB this weekend, yeah.
Murfreesboro.
All right. So we're in, I guess. Falcons plus 2.5.
All right. We got 3. We got Falcons plus 3.
Plus 3. Sorry.
Home dog. That goes like you wrote 8 books about a home dog.
I did.
They barked this weekend. Bills and Broncos.
Oh, my God.
There's a bunch of home dogs this week, too, in the NFL.
That was awful. They barked this weekend.
What's wrong saying that?
Jesus Christ. Listen, can I go?
You're salty this morning. You're salty than me than Schwartz this weekend.
Speaking of dogs.
I'm 1-17 in college. How does that happen?
Yeah, I was bad for a second of this on Saturday. It was atrocious. Oh, boy.
Speaking of dogs, let's go, Uga. Let's go Georgia at plus 13.5 right now. Why are you saying? Like, I'm going to listen to you. All you've been saying for the first 20 minutes of this podcast is, I don't know about college football.
Yeah,
I love it so much, but I can't do it.
You're yelling at me for betting Matt Ryan and you're betting against Alabama.
I'm going to do it. You know what's interesting, by the way?
Yeah.
Before we get to that, the most bet game of the top 25 college games right now is Texas-Oklahoma. I'm looking at the Action Network app right now. Most bet game. Second most bet game is obviously Bama-UGA.
Just betting against Bama is just tough. But let me hear. Is there just a reason? Just betting against Alabama? Because of Georgia's?
Because I think the line for this, look, this line has already popped, right? This line opened at 10.5. It's already been bet up to 13.5. I think we're sort of reaching the outer limits of where wise guys are going to start taking Georgia. I'm comfortable on this. Also, Colin Wilson said he would take Georgia at a lower number. I think he said he would take Georgia at plus 8. I'm getting Georgia at plus 13.5. I mean, come on.
This one's tough. I don't disagree that Georgia's probably within this range, But I do worry that Alabama is going to just, in the second half, like they did against Auburn, just go crazy. And Georgia passing the ball is not as good as they are running the ball. If they get behind in this game, it could get possibly ugly. But Georgia's got to win this game to be in the playoff, right? I mean, so I think they're going to feel a little motivated. I mean, S&P, Bill Conley's has this game as a three-point margin. And you talked about Colin Wilson having this game. What, 10, he said? I think he bet he would bet.
Colin Wilson said the projected spread was 8. It opened at 10. It's been bet up to 13.5. And Colin was willing to take Georgia at +7 or better. So now I'm getting Georgia at double the price of what Colin was willing to take them at.
Yeah, but what do they say? Like, if Alabama were to play Clemson right now for the national title, what do they think it's going to be? Like 8.5, 8, somewhere in that area? So Georgia 11. I mean, I guess that's about right. They were saying Michigan 14 before they got routed. Oh, so, geez. Yeah, it's about right. 14, 13.5, yeah. I mean, I don't mind the play. It's a bold play. Listen, they've been right with them when they played them. I mean, last year and but you know, you're betting against Alabama. It's a bold bet. It's like betting against the Rams and the Chiefs, but we pulled it off before.
I want to dare greatly.
Let's do it.
That's daring greatly.
All right, back to me.
Yep.
We are going to the NFL. Carolina Panthers lost 3 in a row. They are in a tailspin right now. They're just not playing efficient football. And they're even worse on the road. They go to Tampa this weekend. Tampa's getting 4 points. All the money so far is, of course, on Carolina, thinking they're going to right the ship. So far this year on the road, the Panthers have lost to the Falcons. Didn't cover that game. They then went and played the Redskins, lost the Redskins, did not cover that game. They came back from 17 points against the Eagles. They did cover that game. They went to Pittsburgh and got blown out, didn't cover that game. Went to the Lions, lost that game, did not cover that game. So I'm going with the Bucs here at +4. Tampa Bay, the caveat is if they don't turn the ball over, they are really good on offense, and they played. And I'm going to play the Niners this weekend. They allowed 9 points. I mean, that's not bad. I know it's the Niners, but I think home dog again +4. Not getting a lot of the love from the tickets so far. Panthers are really scoffing. I like the Bucs here.
I like it. I like the play. The Bucs played well yesterday, I thought. And the Panthers, like, again, God, they're so Jekyll and Hyde. I'll tell you what, Christian McCaffrey is some kind of player, though. He was a one-man show yesterday. He kept them in that ball game. So, home points at home. I thought Winston, he played a lot better yesterday. Ball control, he checked down a lot more. Him and Evan seemed like they were back in sync like they used to be. So, I don't mind the play. I don't mind the play in the warm weather.
This is an NFL locker room question for Jeff.
Yeah.
Can someone who is playing like Jameis Winston, who has sort of habitually been a guy who tries to do too much, who plays outside of his strengths, who will regress as often as he will progress?
Right.
He's back at home, feeling full. Does he try to do too much in this game?
He generally speaking tries to do too much at times. And you're right. First game this year, he hasn't gone with an interception. I don't think the Panthers offense can score very well either. So I think that's part of this too, is even if he does turn the ball over, I think this will be a close game. They don't have the secondary the Panthers do to cover Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, OJ Howard. The Panthers were 3-7 in the red zone. I just think this is more a bet on the Panthers just not playing very well right now, and then going back on the road where they've struggled the entire season. And less about what I think. I don't think Winston throws 4 interceptions. No, I don't. But I like the Bucs here. I don't have a great answer for if he stinks this game or not. I mean, he generally throws a lot of interceptions no matter what the situation is.
He's a little bit of a red boat gambler. No, Schwartz, he throws more interceptions trying to fit balls in a tight spot than stupid interceptions.
I think guys will be just open this weekend. Like, I don't think he'll have to do that very often.
Yeah.
I agree. This Panthers team, as I've been saying all year with this team, and I erred in my thinking this weekend because I ended up betting them at -3.
So did I.
Dramatic wins, not good wins. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think that their dramatic wins overshadow how bad they really are.
Yeah, but what's
interesting
is...
They're just not that good of a football team.
Yeah, but they start 6-2.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right. You know where they are? They're that curve. When you look at them one time, they're very pretty, and then you look at them another time, you're like, ooh. They're like in bad lighting, you know?
It's like that Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you guys, side note, how do you feel about Mac Brown being hired by North Carolina today as we're talking?
Didn't he used to coach at North Carolina?
He did.
Well, it's interesting. Let's be honest, as soon as he did left Texas and the Longhorn Network was formed, they did sort of like crumble. So he had the key to some kind of engine. He's a great recruiter.
Yeah, listen, I'm a huge Mac Brown fan. Like, he was amazing at North Carolina. Then he went to Texas and, like, completely rebuilt that program into a powerhouse that was sort of top of the class in college football. Why not? Go back to North Carolina, settle in. It's a comfortable place. I like Mac Brown there.
I'm going to miss him as a commentator. I liked him as a commentator. I thought he was very good.
Didn't like him.
They need stability in North Carolina with what's happened with – the scandals they've had over the couple years. So I think that it's a great hire. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Let's put Mac Brown in the early next season parlay for Coach of the Year. Let's just do it. ACC Coach of the Year.
We need some wins, so that hopefully
that helps. Let's do a cha-ching on Tampa Bay at +4 against Carolina. I don't have the heart to challenge you on that, Jeff. Go ahead, Paulie.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the Pac-12. Pac-12 championship game. I mean, what a debacle the Pac-12 has been. Washington beats Washington State. So this week it's Washington at home. It's playing at a neutral site, right?
I think it's at Levi Stadium.
Yeah, it's at Levi, yeah. So you're not going to have to deal with the weather. Listen, Washington played Utah earlier in the year. They beat them 21-7. I love Utah in this game, so you can go ahead and cha-ching it +4.5 right now. they had two lost fumbles that were crucial in that game, and they held Washington to basically no offense. The points off turnovers in the second half shut out. Now Washington held them to 7 points. I get it. I think this is going to be a defensive struggle type of game. Washington beat Washington State last week in a absolute snowstorm. Minshew was like, he couldn't throw the ball around the yard like he usually does for Washington State because of the snow. And I think Washington got a little bit lucky because of the weather gods last week and won that game, and boom, they get in the Pac-12 championship game, and I think they're going to play a better Utah team. And listen, Utah was down 20-0 to BYU last week, probably looking forward to this game. It was a meaningless game besides a rivalry game, and came back and won that game, showing little guts at 35-27. So I think getting the 4.5 points, Washington's just not that good of a team, and I think Utah's going to hang with them.
I love this play. I thought you were going to take Washington. I thought you didn't do it. I'm glad. You mentioned the game this weekend. They're down 20-0, down 27-7 against BYU in a rivalry game, the Holy War, as it's called. They came storming back. What's impressive with Utah but is their defense, of course. We know their defense is really good. But they lost their starting quarterback against Arizona State. They lost that game. But since then, Jason Shelley has come in, and he has done a fabulous job at quarterback. They have done a great job of finding ways to get him to be efficient and run the football. Even with Zach Moss being out, Armand Shine has come in and done a fantastic job. And they are just so well coached. They, by the way, just a random throw in stat. I think Kyle Whittingham is like 10-1 in bowl games. So that just shows you a sign that their coaching is really good. They will, and I always like the losing team, typically, not always is the wrong word to use, typically like the losing team in a rematch, because Washington's going to come out and basically run the same game plan. Why would they deviate from a game plan that already worked? Utah has the advantage of coming into this game and doing new things. And plus, since that game, that was a week 3 game, by the way, Paulie, they lost to Washington State. They completely overhauled their offense. They've run a brand new offense using the legs of their quarterbacks. And I think it's a great play. Most predictions have this under a field goal. This is going to be a tight game with two good defenses. And I get over a field goal. I love this, dude.
Listen, who am I to argue? I mean, as I've said, I can barely stay up past halftime for the Sunday night football game. Forget about like
this one's at 8 p.m. on Friday, though, Chad. I expect you to stay up for this one.
8 p.m. Eastern or 8 p.m. Pacific?
8 p.m. Eastern, yeah.
This Friday?
Yes.
I don't know, guys. The end of the week, I'm like really tired. I usually like to hunker down, like especially now.
So, you don't do anything all week either. You just travel between ESPN and your big mansion. I mean, what do you do? You'll be fine.
Especially now, like the East Coast, it gets so dark and it's chilly.
It
like,
sucks.
I'm in bed by like 5:30.
I know.
The line is five now, by the way, Paul. Five.
Yeah.
Really?
I love it.
All right. Well, we're doing it.
All the money, by the way, is on Washington, too, which makes me feel even better.
Now I might have to bet it myself. I won't be able to watch it, but I might have to bet it myself.
So watch the first quarter.
If I were to tell you, this isn't the start of a 30 for 30, but if I were to tell you that I'm very, very interested in the Dallas Cowboys as 7-point dogs at home against the New Orleans Saints, would anybody scoff at me? Would I be supported? Would people think, oh my God, he's an idiot. He's stretching his theories way too far.
I saw this game on the schedule. It's a Thursday night game. And we know that Thursday night, the home team plays pretty well.
You know what? Forget it. Hold on. I'm taking it back. Okay. I forgot it was a Thursday night game. I don't want us to be out of the parlay before sunrise on Friday. So, So I'm changing my tune here. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings +7 against the New England Patriots on Sunday afternoon.
Where's this game at?
New England. This defense for me in Minnesota, they're just getting better. They really are. Every week, they're getting a little bit better. Their pass rush is getting a little bit better. Kirk Cousins is having a ridiculously good year. New England, to me, like, they did not play well against the Jets. That was a by-the-seat-of-their-pants cover yesterday. Obviously, a bad beat for a lot of people who had the Jets because Kirsch dropped that touchdown in the end zone at the end of the game. But I'm just, it's like, I think this New England team is getting the benefit of the doubt in a really, really big number.
I kind of like this because Cousins, I think the win yesterday kind of took the monkey off the back of Cousins a little bit because he was 4-12 entering this game in prime time. And this is a Packers team that's not very good right now. If he had lost this game, there'd be a lot of doubt about his ability to lead the Vikings to where they want him to go. I know the Packers aren't any good, but you're supposed to do this as a quarterback. 29 of 38, right? Over 300 yards. Like, that's your job. That's why they paid you to win a game like this. So I agree with you here. I think his confidence is going to be high. They seem to finally be clicking on offense. Patriots defense is just not as good as they have been in the past, nor is their offense, really. You get Harrison Smith, by the way. Their all-pro safety gets to guard Gronkowski, which is great for the Vikings.
Don't you sigh, Paul LaDuca. Don't you sigh.
Listen to me. I've blown out both of my hamstrings. Xavier Rhodes is not going to be playing for a while. Doesn't that worry you?
The problem is Gronk, and they have Harrison Smith.
Yeah. And Xavier Rhodes is their best cover guy. I mean,
yeah, but even going, but I trust Mike Zimmer to be able to figure that out. I mean, even going back to, this is now a long time ago, but even in 2017, the first game of the year, when Eric Berry was on Gronkowski, I mean, there are ways that you can get, you can shut down Gronk by, and he's not the same player he used to be. He made a great touchdown catch yesterday, right? He's going to do that at times, but you have an all-pro safety in Harrison Smith, a really good football player. The one factor in this game that does worry me a little bit, and I'll just say this, and I agree with, I'll take the bet. I'm not going to throw a challenge right here, is Vikings offensive line is really bad. and the Patriots are kind of back to their old ways on the defense being able to generate sacks. That's the only thing that worries me about this contest. Otherwise, I really like this.
Paul?
I'm okay with it, Chad.
All right, great. Jeff Schwartz, you're up.
Okay. So I mentioned the woes I had in college football this year, right? I mean, no, well, I'm 52%, but my units are all messed up, and this weekend was really bad. The one place where I'm actually really good this season, believe it or not, 17-3. I looked this up. I looked through all my plays. 17-3 in MACtion games, right? The MAC conference. Okay, 17-3. It's like I can't believe it. Weekday MAC games for whatever reason. I don't know. Whatever reason, I'm good at them. All right. This weekend, the MAC championship game, Buffalo is a 3.5-point favorite against NIU. This game is inside in Detroit. Buffalo's offense is legit. They have a very good offense. They're 35th in S&P right now. They can score a ton of points, 44, 48, 51, 31, 34, 42, 40. They score a ton of points. NIU has a great defense. We know that. But they can't score points, and we see week in and week out that if your defense, and they have a kind of a slower defense, if your defense cannot match up athletically with another defense, Michigan, Ohio State. Buffalo has athletes at wide receiver. They have an athlete at quarterback who can throw the ball. I think this game is not close. Also, Buffalo's defense, lastly, 48th at S&P, so they're able to play defense as well. NIU, in my opinion, just has no chance to keep this game very close because, again, no offensive output whatsoever for them. If you look at their offense, they're 120th in offensive S&P, according to Bill Conley. That's atrocious. They've lost their last two games because they can't score points. They scored 7 against Miami of Ohio at home and lost that game. So give me Buffalo here, -3.5.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know who Tyree Jackson is.
He's really good, yeah.
The Buffalo quarterback. He's a pro prospect, by the way. He's like 6'7". This guy's a monster. And Buffalo has got athletic receivers. I think Buffalo is going to be a threat in a bowl game. They can compete with somebody in a Power 5 conference because they have some athletes. I don't know, maybe on the defensive side when it comes to a Power 5 conference, but I'm with Jeff. Northern Iowa is just going to have to go 3 yards here, 3 yards there, 4 yards here to earn their money in this game, where Buffalo's just got way too many explosive players. And like I said, Tyree Jackson is very, very raw. But he has flashes where you're like, wow. I mean, this kid, and he's got some legs on him, and he's a big boy. So I actually like this play.
Do you know who loves Buffalo and their quarterback? Our good friend Blackjack Fletcher. And because of that, because of the number of times he's bet on Buffalo this year,
so have I.
I feel like in solidarity, I'm going to go with it.
Solidarity?
So you don't even like this pick because I said it. You like it because Blackjack said it.
That's I like it nice because here. Everybody said it. I think there's like, you're on it. You come to the games from an entirely different way than Blackjack does. So I've got two people who look at the games in different ways saying to me, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. And then Paulie's coming at it from his entirely different way. He even got the name of the quarterback right.
Yeah, like, it's Jackson. Yeah.
If he's getting the name of the quarterback right, then it feels like there's like karma happening here.
Low bar. Anthony Johnson, by the way, is a wide receiver, Paul, you're talking about. Who's their stud wide receiver? Number 83.
You're welcome.
Everything's working for us. What do they call the Buffalo team? The Bulls?
The Bulls.
Yeah.
The Bulls. Yeah.
I mean, so then, like, we got to be. You like Buffalo, Jeff. Blackjack likes Buffalo. Paul got the name right of the quarterback, and I knew the nickname. That's like, if that isn't like high-level metrics right there for why Buffalo should be part of our parlay. Paul LaDuca, give us the eighth winner in our parlay.
Monday night, Washington Redskins. Is that game at 7 or is it 6.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles?
That game is at 6.5.
I'm going to play the Skins plus the 6.5. I keep on trying and trying and trying to, I guess, push this Eagle team. And they got too many guys out in their secondary, and it didn't get exploited. They got away with, although Odell asked for a hold every time, they got away with a hold in the end zone at the end of that game. He got completely held both times, and they had to settle for a field goal to the Giants. The Giants are awful. They beat the 49ers, they beat the Cardinals, who were both awful, and they had Philadelphia buried and beat. And I just think that this is not going anywhere. They had to convert another fourth down to Doug Peterson. It seems like they're winning games by the skin of their teeth. I think I'm just off the train. I'm off the train. I just think they're not the same team. And then people see they got their win. Okay, they're going to move forward, and they still got a shot. I don't see it. I don't see them progressing.
I just don't buy the Eagles this year. I did, but Colt McCoy and the Redskins. Ugh. Seven, you said?
That was the other part.
Six and a half.
Colt McCoy at 6.5. How's this game not 7.5, 8.5? I don't get it.
What do you think, Chad?
I hate this pick.
That's why it's the pick to play.
I don't even know what to say.
I want to win $20,000. That's what you want to say.
Paul, what's your net? What's your other favorite pick after this?
I gave you 7. You want 9?
Let's hear it over 9.
Paul, I need you to give me a trash
tastic. I'll take the Colts. I'm done watching Blake Bortles play, and I think I hate playing road favorites, but now am I going to go with Joe Public, the Colts? The whole world's on the Colts, and Jacksonville is literally collapsing. I mean, Josh Allen beat them yesterday, and now they go against Andrew Luck and Marlon Mack, and those guys are rolling right now. I could roll with the Colts, but
Chad's 100% going to veto that pick.
Exactly.
100%. I was going to take the Jags.
The Jags, yeah. So it's a trap play, but that's why I'm saying I don't understand. You know, like I said, the Texan line to me is a line that, where after that game's played tonight, I don't think it's going to sway that much. But you think it's a bad line? I get it. There's a lot of lines this week where there's a lot of road favorites, so you have to choose which one you want. Listen, to be honest with you, I could roll with Kansas City minus 800. I mean, you think that Kansas City is not going to beat the Oakland Raiders by more than 15 points?
I like the idea of, I don't know if I like them at minus 15, but can we include them on the money line?
I guess. I mean, it'll lower the odds, obviously, but the payout, but yeah. I mean, they Andy Reid off a bye, it's 16-2, by the way.
And they just lost. I mean, they gave up, not 24, but 34, but a lot of points to Lamar Jackson. What is Kansas City going to put up on that defense, seriously, Oakland's defense? And then is Carr going to play? He limped off the field again. God knows who's going to be playing this week.
Let's do Kansas City money line.
Okay.
Wow.
So, Paul, your pick is Kansas City money line?
Should I get on my pacifier, a nipple? What else?
Well, we got to win, man.
How about this? How about this, Paul?
I'll suck my thumb while I watch the whole game.
How about this, Paul? You get out your fucking thank you cards and send me one for getting us closer to winning a fucking parlay.
I'm playing a five-teamer, Atlanta. God, I already got it down. Atlanta, what else did you hate?
Go Baltimore ahead. Corner. You go play all your trash picks and let's see how you do against us. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to be blown away?
Yes.
Because it is time. We are talking about the AAC Championship game. AAC.
Yep, Memphis, UCF, Memphis. I'm aware, yes.
Memphis, UCF. UCF is a 3.5-point favorite. Their last game, Memphis was winning in the first half. They dominated at the line of scrimmage. They ended up with more yards. UCF is now a favorite And they're missing their best player in their quarterback, who had a horrific knee injury.
Yeah, it was bad, yeah.
Give me Memphis plus 3.5. Memphis plus 3.5. Boom.
I should have bet this game when it came out at 7 because I love Memphis. I've made a lot of money this year betting on Memphis. And it is, their offensive line is really good. They average almost 7 yards a carry. You mentioned UCF missing their quarterback. And look, South Florida, who they played, is not very good on Friday or Saturday, whenever they played them. I think it was Friday night. And Mackenzie Milton's injury, that's going to be tough. It wasn't just a bad injury. It was a horrific injury. When you dislocate your knee like that, and if you looked at the reaction on the sidelines, that shows you everything that you need to look. I've seen a lot of injuries. I've seen a tib fib, you know, like a guy breaking his lower leg in half. I've had my leg basically snap in half. I've seen dislocated ankle. I've seen some bad stuff, but the reaction on Friday night, I think it was, when they played, was of like horror. Like, guys ran away from the scene. South Florida, who was on the sidelines, like, ran over. They called the ambulance right away. Like, it was, I think that's just, it's emotionally difficult when you pull back. You know, during the game, yeah, you keep playing, you're beating USF, but when you pull back, you prepare for this week, you realize your leader's not in the huddle all week, he's not in the meeting room, he's in the hospital still dealing with this. I agree with you. Memphis is highly motivated to win this game. I think they win this game outright.
I actually wanted McKenzie to play, and I feel so sorry for him, because I really think Memphis, a lot of people forget that Temple put up 500 yards of offense on UCF. They have not played a better offensive team since then. Like he said, USF is very, very average. And Jeff's right. Memphis struggled a little bit early with Houston, because Houston last week has very athletic wide receivers that they can throw downhill and downfield, and they started a freshman quarterback, and he was just throwing stuff up for grabs. And after that was over with, the offensive line, like Jeff said, of Memphis just took over, and they can run the football, and they got a dynamic running back too. So I think they're going to run the ball down their throat too. So yeah, it's tough to say hindsight to get this line at 7, but to still get it at 3.5 is okay. You know, and Josh Heupel is going to have to work some wonders with the backup QB, because Memphis is a handful. They're not bad on defense either.
Guys, we have our 9-team parlay, and I feel like we did some good diligence here, and we challenged ourselves and each other, and I'm going to read them back, and we are going to win some money. Texas, plus 7.5 in the Big 12 championship game against the Oklahoma Sooners. Atlanta Falcons, plus 3 at home against the Baltimore Ravens. Georgia, plus 13.5 against Alabama. Tampa Bay, plus 4 at home against Carolina. Utah, the Utes, plus 4.5 in the Pac-12 championship game against Washington. Minnesota, plus 7 against New England. Buffalo Bulls in the MAC. Minus 3.5 against NIU, Northern Illinois, in the championship game there. Kansas City on the money line against Oakland. Chad Millman comes in with an AAC pick, wild card. Memphis plus 3.5 against Central Florida. Boys, one more thing that happened in the show. Jeff, as always, when discussing an injury, was able to say, I've had this injury.
No, I didn't say that. I said I broke my leg before.
Yeah.
I did not dislocate my knee. Trust me.
No. You were referring to an injury that became a conversation about seeing another type of injury
I had 10 surgeries.
Yeah, well, listen, you played in the NFL for a long time.
Every injury known to mankind on my lower body. Luckily, my upper body has been, say, spared.
You're like the most fragile 6'7", 340-pound guy I've ever met.
If that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. Fragile. Call it fragile. Thanks for listening to... I'll never say that to your face. Thanks for listening to The Favorites. We have shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Download our free app today. Please rate and review our show. Paul LaDuca, Jeff Schwartz, thanks for joining me. See everybody on Wednesday when I talk to Scooch, bookmaker to the world. Until next time.